Amen. As we continue our time of worship this morning, we want to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing? Now, today, y'all go put those back in your seat. That's twice we've run out of buckets. That's a good problem to have, so we'll get more. So we'll pass the plate around twice next week so that we can buy more buckets, all right? Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. If you'll remember, last week we looked at the first 12 verses in Matthew 5, and we considered the Beatitudes. These are paradoxical teachings that Jesus gives us to remind us of the ethical and moral code we are called to live into as followers of God, and specifically followers of Jesus Christ. And he kind of reframes and echoes what we hear in the Old Testament. And so today we're going to continue to consider the beginnings of his Sermon on the Mount. And so I'll ask you to hear now God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. As many of you know, I've been doing doctoral work over the last year and a half or so, and I've come to realize and to remember something that I knew in high school and in college and in seminary, and that is that I have a love-hate relationship with commas. Now, Beth has been very gracious to edit my papers and a lot of my dissertation work, and she will be the first one to tell you that I always have the right amount of commas. I just don't always have them in the right place. When in doubt, I will put in a comma, and she will put in an X. And I don't use the Oxford comma either. And that really bothers her, and so I want to go on record as apologizing to her. I've done it to her, and now I'm apologizing, so you all have heard that. But I just never quite get that right. I try, but it just seems to escape me. And I noticed that as I'm working on a paper, I get better at it. And she will say, well, you got better this time. You got better. So I'm getting there. But commas are important, right? They're not useless. They have a purpose. And commas can really help change the meaning of an entire phrase, right? Commas can help us do something. We have an example for you on the screen here. I love cooking my pets and my family. Don't be a serial killer. Use serial commas and love cooking, comma, your pets, comma, and your family. Don't hurt people. Use commas, right? It's important for us to do that. It's important for us to use them in their appropriate place and in the appropriate way. In verse 18, Jesus reminds us that not even, if you'll go back to the, there you, thank you, reminds us that not even the smallest stroke or the smallest letter will be erased from the law and the prophets until it becomes a reality. Every aspect of the law that has been written has a purpose and it has a function. Now, when he speaks of the smallest letter, he's talking very specifically here about Yod. I don't know about you, but it's my favorite Hebrew letter. Is it your all's favorite Hebrew letter too? Now, the Yod makes the Y sound in Hebrew. It literally is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It kind of looks like a comma, but it's positioned higher, so it might maybe more looks like an apostrophe. And what he's saying here, he actually uses the word Yod here, and he says, not even the Yod will be changed or removed until everything becomes a reality. The Yod, as any other letter or punctuation, is of the utmost importance. How many of you have ever sent a text or an email and you've misspelled a word and it said something else? You left out one letter, or you switched a letter, right? Or you did something. And now when you're texting, usually what happens is you've got this long text, and at the very bottom you'll have a little asterisk with one word that you corrected, and then the person goes back and does that. With email, it's a little more difficult. But that's what we tend to do, and we're usually so fast in doing this that we've got to kind of correct those, right? But they're important. Letters are important. Words are important. Punctuation is important. Without proper spelling and punctuation, we can misinterpret what is being said, and we can communicate something that is drastically different from what message we are trying to communicate and convey to others. You can go to the next slide now. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we adhere and we follow both the Old Testament and the New Testament. All 66 books in Scripture we believe to be divinely inspired texts, and what they teach us is absolute. The truth of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe that, and we adhere to that, and we follow that as followers of Jesus. And in this passage, Jesus is reminding us of the importance of Scripture. And not only the importance of Scripture, but the importance of interpreting and applying Scripture in our daily lives. We were talking in confirmation this morning about this, and I told them that you cannot read Scripture without interpreting Scripture. Because as you read it, you will begin to interpret what it's saying and begin applying it to your daily life. That's just how we operate. It's how we function. You'll notice when I first came here, you all would read the Scripture right before the sermon was given. And I changed that, and now you're reading the Psalter. And part of that is because there's an interpretation of the Scripture that I feel God is wanting me to emphasize. And so when I read it, I'm trying to put the proper emphasis on the right syllables so that you'll hear it and so that we can begin to think critically through it. Now, I'm not saying you're bad readers, but you're going to read it differently than maybe I'm going to read it, right? And so it's important that we keep that in mind, and that's one of the reasons I like to read the passage that I'm preaching. It gets me connected, and it helps me to, again, kind of emphasize those aspects of it. And when we read Scripture, we have to keep all of it in mind. We have to keep all of it in context. If you've ever been in a Bible study with me or you've been at POPs, I say all the time, CIE, context is everything. We cannot read simply one passage of Scripture all by itself and interpret it correctly. We have to read it, and we have to consider it and think about it and pray about it in the context of all of Scripture, right? Has anyone ever taken anything you've said or written out of context? Well, you know how God feels when we take one passage and we try to drive home a point and we haven't tested it or considered it in light of Scripture as a whole. It's so important and so vital that we read it often, that we read it all, even the aspects of it we don't like. I had somebody a few weeks ago ask me, is it okay not to like a book of the Bible? And I said, I hope so, because I really don't like Jeremiah. I have a hard time getting through Jeremiah. It's a difficult text. He's a weepy prophet. He's very sad, and it makes me sad when I read it. So I read it when I have to, and I avoid it the rest of the time. Please don't tell the bishop. But there are aspects of it that we resonate with maybe more so than others, but it's important that we read it all. We must look at each part of Scripture in terms of the whole. Otherwise, we will miss the truth of God's love, His grace, and His salvation. We will miss it. We will misinterpret it. We will misapply it. And it will become more detrimental, and we will communicate things that we're not trying to communicate inadvertently. The Beatitudes that we looked at last week drive home again the ethical demands of the law that were given to Moses and to Israel on Mount Sinai. And if we, as Jesus says here, are going to be the salt and the light to the world, we have to know what this message looks like. We have to know what the message says. We have to be appropriate messengers who consider all of it. It's vital that we do this. If we don't share Jesus' message fully, then we are not going to share it appropriately. Now, you remember a few weeks ago, we were looking at John 1:14, and we talk about the Word being full of grace and truth. And we need both grace and truth working together, helping to balance the other out. And it's important that we approach Scripture that way. It's important that we share this message with truth and with grace. And as the Word made flesh, Jesus has come to fulfill the law, and He's very clear about that. He's come to fulfill it. He has not come to eliminate it. He has not come to undermine it. But the Scripture He is referring to is very specifically the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets. And He helps us to understand and apply it to our lives. That's what the Beatitudes do. They take what is said in the Old Testament, and He begins to apply it and interpret it for them. He kind of reframes the law in a way that they can understand it and see its practical use for their lives. Not so much as a list of rules and regulations, but as an ethical code and moral code to live by as followers of Jesus. The salt and the light metaphors, I think, further emphasize this. Without their proper application, salt and light are worthless, right? How many of y'all ever salt your food? If it's not enough salt, it hasn't done the job, right? And if it's too much salt, whew, Lord have mercy, right? It's too much. If we have light, but we don't use it, It's pointless, right? If we light a lamp and we put a basket over it and we put it off into the corner of the room, what was the point of lighting it in the first place, right? We have to know how to use these things, salt and light, and they're very simple. But we have to know how to use them, because if we don't, it's not going to work well. It's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth, right? And the same is true with this. If we don't know how to use it, if we don't know how to apply it, it's not going to work. As followers of Jesus, as people who are called to live the kingdom lifestyle that Jesus puts forth here in the first 12 verses, we have to adhere to it. We have to do it. Because if we don't, then we're just as worthless as salt or light that's not used properly. A disciple of the kingdom that is not living as a disciple of Jesus Christ is useless and won't do what is necessary and needed to do. Every one of us here today has a purpose. We have been set apart and divinely called by God to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We have a purpose. And we are all here together because God believes that we all make Petrie Memorial what it needs to be to make disciples. So often when we talk about mission or ministry, we say, well, if we just had this, or if we just had that, or if we just did this, or something like that. And we typically seem to talk about it as if we have a deficit of some kind. But everyone here today is here because God has brought you here. God has led you here. We are all that God needs here at Petrie Memorial to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're here together. God always supplies and always does and has what is necessary. And then when we partner with our churches here in the community, we continue to make disciples in Elkton and Todd County. When we are working together, when we know our purpose, and when we live into that. And when we live into that purpose, both individually and corporately, people will see it. And as he says in verse 16, they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. When people see us applying Scripture appropriately, sharing the message of Jesus Christ in truth and grace, they will see it and they will glorify God. And they will come to know God in a special way, just as we know Him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will know Jesus only when we properly apply our purpose and the Scripture that has been given to us. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, what have we inadvertently or maybe purposefully dropped from our lives? Have we left out a comma somewhere? Maybe we've got all the commas. Maybe we know all the disciplines. Maybe we know all the things we should be doing, but we don't apply them in the right places, right? And in the right time and in the right way. And when we do that, we change the message drastically, don't we? And we kind of look crazy like the serial killer lady, right, from earlier. We kind of look crazy, and it doesn't quite make sense, and something gets missed or something gets dropped. Maybe this morning you need to consider what aspect of Jesus' teaching you have deemed or considered too small or unimportant to matter. And we all do it. But maybe there's an aspect of Jesus' teaching you're like, you know, that's probably good for somebody, but it just doesn't work for me. And when we do that, we've missed the point. We've not gotten the fullness of the gospel message. Maybe you've added something to your faith or to your life that you thought was helpful, but really it's counterintuitive to the gospel message. And these are all things that we do. We either take something out or we add something to it. And when we do that, we misinterpret the gospel. We misrepresent the gospel. I'm not perfect in this. You're not perfect in this. But it's our task to continue to read, to continue to study, to continue to be more and more like Jesus every single day. Are we properly punctuating our life for Jesus Christ so that others will see Him? These are questions we have to ask ourselves. These are questions we have to answer. What aspects of your life are going really well and are really showing the gospel of Jesus? What aspects of your life maybe are not? And how do you work through those? How can we continue to be who Jesus calls us to be? How can we better share the message of Jesus Christ? I hope and pray that this is something we'll think about, that we'll consider, and that we'll be mindful of this week moving forward, so that we might make disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we might share the gospel message in its fullness and in its entirety, because that and that alone will change lives and will help people know Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for all that you give to us. Lord, you indeed give us more than we need and more than we ask. We pray that we would receive those gifts, that we would recognize those gifts have been given to us so that we might make disciples of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us courage, give us strength to read your word and to proclaim your message in all grace and in all truth, so that we and others may fully be aware of who you are and who you call us to be. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is "More Like You." What an appropriate hymn.